Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, bitch, what is your whole deal? Hey, bitch, just tell us how you feel. You wished for a sign from above. Well, here's a podcast about boy sex, fucking, dating, and love. Seek treatment if you're boring as fuck. Seek treatment if you're unlucky in love. Seek treatment if you just can't take a hint. Well, seek treatment with Kat
and Pat.
Hey.
Hey!
It's Catherine.
It's Pat Regan with new gas station headphones. Thank you.
Go absolutely orf king. You know, I'm having... Well, first of all, this is Seek Treatment.
This is Seek Treatment, a podcast about boys wearing a lot.
And I had a good therapy session this morning, so I'm feeling kind of like at peace. You know what I can do? That's what I'm learning. I can only control my behavior, and I can't control what people think of me or what they do or what they do with that behavior or what they interpret from that behavior. But I know the kind of girly I am.
Yeah.
I know where my heart lies. And if I try and impress everyone, if I try and please everyone, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think you can only control your behavior. And then I think like, yeah, I think that's great. And that's true.
I've been sleeping so much because my anxiety, like, now that we're socializing again, my anxiety is at kind of a peak, all-time high. And so I'm so tight, clenched all day that I come home and then I sleep for about 12 hours.
That's like, that's something that in the next week on, Real Housewives of Potomac, Robin is sleeping too late and her husband gets mad at her. And so Angela keeps saying he's the Robin because he does sleep very late. But I don't get mad. I'm kind of just like, I'm going to get out. He gets mad when I get out. He's interesting because he gets mad when I get out of bed without kind of like waking him up to tell him I'm getting out of bed. But he also gets mad if I wake him up. So there's no way I could win.
Yeah, actually, you know, Brian, who just kind of came back in my apartment. Hey, King. I can tell that sometimes he's annoyed that I'm sleeping so much, but then I ask him and he says, no, I'm not. What do you think it is? It's a little annoying.
What is?
When I sleep so much.
Yeah.
But why?
Because we like don't get to have it like a day sometimes.
Yeah.
Why did he say? Why is it?
He goes, because then we don't like get to have a day.
Yeah. See, I am fine with someone else. I don't mind when someone sleeps a lot. I can be in phases when I sleep a lot, but it makes me very depressed. So like I have to like be really rigid sometimes. So I don't care if you sleep a lot, but it's like my main thing is like just let me do my own thing. You know what I mean? Like as long as I can hop out of bed and like
totally and do
start my day. Yeah. I'm not big on like needing to have a day with someone. I'm kind of like if our days kind of crossover, then that could be fine. But I don't need you to start my day. You know what I mean? There's so
yeah.
There's just literally so many things in the world you can do by yourself.
I think in this case, what he's referring to, which makes perfect sense, is that basically he was getting ready to leave my apartment because we were going to do this, and I was like, "Oh, stay!" And he's like, "Well, you're about to get on a call for 2 hours, and you've actually haven't really even said hi to me because you've been asleep all day. So it's kind of like if I wanted to spend time, I should have woken up maybe like a little earlier."
I know. That's my main thing with Angelo is whenever he's like, "Oh, we have no time to do this," or when I'm like, "I'm trying to go to the gym," he's like, "Well, then we don't have to do this," and I'm like, "Well, then you know, an option that you could have had would have been to wake up before noon. You know what I mean? That would have been an option. Totally. What was I going to say? Yesterday we had a good day. We went to Williamsburg, which is a town kind of a little bit west of here, but east of the city.
You know what I'll say about Williamsburg? It really does feel like a vacation destination when you hit, totally. When you hit it.
We do the famous thing of going to Williamsburg. We'll see something straight away that we want to eat at because there's probably so many eating places there, and it takes us a million hours. So we went there with the express kind of intention of seeing Black Widow because, you know, I'm a Marvel whore.
Yeah, that times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed. But hey, I mean, when it comes to ScarJo and Florence Pugh, who I've never connected with, but I do have to say, the ponytail that she wore for the entirety of the movie was incredible. Like the way it was. I don't know what that kind of ponytail is called, but it was
Wait, no, I want to look it up. I actually really like her.
I didn't connect with her in Midsommar, and I didn't connect with her in Little Women.
Yeah. Wait, oh my God. Do you know what I watched last night that you would be obsessed with?
What?
The new season. There's a new season of American Horror Story.
Oh, I thought that is it the one called American Horror Stories? Wait, let me.
Yeah, what is that?
So anyways, we end up going to that place called Salt and Charcoal. Do you know it?
It's the kind of place I've walked by it, but I've never.
It's the kind of place that you're always walking by, and you're like, "Is that food? Like, is that like? What do you mean, salt and charcoal? Is what you say to yourself whenever you walk by it? So we go in. They have a burger, which is all I really wanted. So we sit down, and immediately we said our waitress was so castable. It wasn't even funny. Like, just a really great look. She was really good for even commercials or even a sitcom. And we really wanted her to go to LA. But so there's this trio of women, like, a few feet away, and they're talking. And they're, you know, they're passionate. They're talking about this dance collective that they're in. And they're talking about what the choreo should be and, like, who should be in charge of that choreo and, like, who should be in charge of different things and who really knows the dancers and their strengths. But then they mentioned this name that I realized they were talking about a friend of mine who passed and, like, he was...
What?
I'm not great friends with him, but so I couldn't decide if I should say something like, oh, hey, like, are you doing a memoriam show? I would love to go to it or something. But they were kind of like getting into the nitty gritty of the drama of, so I was like, I better just stay away because it'll be awkward that I heard all this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I'm a little lost, but I am here.
Okay, wait, what are you lost about?
Well, you know why I'm lost is because a text popped off my computer.
Oh, that's okay. Well, it's been pretty straightforward.
You're at Salt and Charcoal thinking, what is this? You're having a burger. You hear girls talking about a dance group, and they're doing a dance for someone who passed who you knew.
Who was a dancer. So,
gotcha. It's all coming. Now, guess what? I'm back.
So I can't decide if I'm going to say something to them. I ultimately decide not to because it'll be too uncomfortable because they've been getting too much into drama. And it'll be like, were you listening to me? Like, talk about all my interpersonal drama. But so we end up getting up, going, we go to walk away. We pay our bill. We decide to pay our bill. We go up and walk away. And classic me drops my wallet. Don't even notice. And someone goes like, someone, you dropped your wallet. I look back. Whoa. So it's there. And she goes, an angel's watching over you. So then I had to be like, I know the person. And then
God. But wait, this is really moving.
So then the girl goes, she's like, how'd you know him? And like, we weren't close friends, but he's someone I cared about, I would say. But she was like, oh my God, that was his mom. Just went to the bathroom. She's coming out. And then like the mom came out. She's like, he was friends with the person. And I was like, oh, I'm not like, do you know what I mean? And then now I'm interfacing with the mom. So I just did my best to be nice. And then we went off to Black Widow.
That is so, the angel comment is so beautiful.
I mean, it was really about herself, kind of, because she was like, I saw the wallet. You know what I mean? What was it going? You know, I'm betwixt therapists.
Oh. Well, you have eating disorder.
I have eating disorder, but she's technically just dietitian. Like,
right. And so have you officially broken up with 27?
27 broke up with me.
Oh, right, because he's moving.
He's moving. And so I ghosted place. And I ghosted the older straight man called Bernie that he was trying to connect to me
with. That's right.
Wait, so you're liking American Horror Story.
Oh, so wait. First of all, that's a very... Okay, sorry, I'm back. So here's my question. I did notice that it was called American Horror Stories. Is that because it's going to be little short stories?
I have no idea, but I was like, when I saw it, what I made up in my head was that each episode is its own little thing.
That, I think you're right, because basically the first two episodes are available on Hulu, and they seemed, it was like a part one and a part two of one story, is what it seemed like. But the part two is insane chaos, but the part one is actually really good.
Is it killer or is it ghost?
It's combo, but it's killer.
I see, that's honestly, I hate that even the most, because
no,
then
it's
like
killer, it's killer.
You're on the train, you're like, this is right, this is correct, there's the killer, and then all of a sudden, like, but they're possessed by this person from 800 years ago, and it's like, okay, well, now I don't care, unfortunately. And you know what did that to me was Fear Street did that to me.
Which I didn't see that.
I tried to watch it. I was like on board. I was like, yes, this is like for me. This is what I wanted. It's like it opens with like a slasher chasing a girl in a mall. I'm like, perfect. And then they're like, wait a minute. This is the curse, isn't it? Of the great witch trials of 2,000 years ago. And then it's like, and then it's like, oh my God, people are coming back to life and they're zombies. And I go, well, now this is silly and like, I don't really care. And I literally didn't even watch the second half of it because I don't need to watch a teen girl come back to life and be a zombie. And like, you know,
I mean, in that case, this episode is beyond silly. It is, but it's like on purpose funny. Like, it's basically this girl, you'll love it. This girl has these two gay dads and they're moving in. This is so stupid. They're moving into the murder house from season one because yes, they want to Airbnb it as like a haunted destination.
Are they the same gays that were like, remember in season one, there were those gays that like wore latex?
Yes. No.
Did you know I was straight when I watched season one and like that was really hot to me? And also like you saw Dylan McDermott's butt and it was really hot to me.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a lot of latex involved. But then the best part, they have this teenage daughter who they're worried about her because she's into really violent porn.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and then she's kind of like has this thing for a girl at school, and let's just say it gets a little crazy.
Interesting.
All I know is the first episode, Brian and I were like, this is incredible, and then it goes completely off the rails, but I didn't mind.
Sometimes it's like, don't go off the rails. That's my biggest...
If they hadn't taken it off the rails, I would have been like, this is incredible work. That's
why Love Island is so good, because it never goes off the rails. It's just people chatting by a pool. It's just people chatting by a pool and being sad, but being happy sometimes.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, like, I was trying to explain again to myself, you know, kind of, which is just called having a thought, why it's, like, why it is so powerful. I think part of the fun is, like, you watch the stuff happen, but then you watch the people tell their friends about what happens.
Yeah.
Like, these, it's, like, it really totally is, like, being, that's why you're, like, friends with them. You're, like, oh, yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, totally.
Like, last night I was watching, she's, like, so he leaned on me, and he, like, turned around and was, like, I think we need to have a talk. And, like, we just saw it happen, but it's so funny.
Yeah.
So where are you in season two?
I've taken, like, not a break. I mean, I think I didn't watch it yesterday. Yesterday, which to me it's like, okay, I have to get a 9-week vacation from it because it's like, you know, it takes over your life. The shocking departure, Moz. Oh,
wasn't that shocking?
I'm so mad at myself though, because obviously I watched it at Hulu and I was just trying to figure out where I was, and I saw the episode after where I was, and description was like, after Malin's shocking departure, and I was like, no.
I mean, should have warned you, because I would have been shocked.
I don't understand why it happened.
You know what? I don't know why either. And that's what the fun of the game is.
Yeah.
And then now, yeah, so where are you now? Is it like, is Tell like, I don't know what I'm going to do?
Tell is like basically like gonna stay. But like he told her, he promised her he was leaving with her.
Oh my God, it's so juicy.
But everyone's like, you know, look, if I was her, I would want him to stay. And like, because this experience is, they act like it's the best experience anyone can ever have. Like, you're gonna hate yourself so much if you leave this experience and you don't give it everything you have. And you owe it to yourself to like, just only do what you want for this experience. It's like, what are you talking about?
I know. Why do they think they deserve to stay? It's like, you should stay. It's like, why? So you can like be by a pool more on camera.
I know.
If I had to be on camera by a pool, I would absolutely die. On camera? I love my body. She does amazing things for me. But when I see her sometimes on camera, I think, wow.
Yeah, cameras are one of the worst inventions. Only second to mirrors. But what was I going to say?
Second only to mirrors,
which truly serve no purpose. Cameras at least make you have movies. But wait, you know what I watched for no reason at all? Over the course of the last 4 days, because it's a movie, so it takes me 4 days to watch, because I can only watch 20 minutes or something at a time.
Of course.
And Oh, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Do you see it?
Oh, God. I couldn't get through it, but well, I did begin it.
Well, you know that I'm fascinated. Like, I have kind of, I'm kind of a student of the Manson murders. I do watch a lot of Manson content just because I'm so,
sure.
It's so interesting to me how he kind of did that.
But, I agree with that.
I mean, what's so interesting to me, and I guess this is what's interesting to everyone, this is why it's like this kind of mythical murder spree, is like, it's just so, it's like just so crazy that it was like a famous person and they just came to her house randomly and murdered. Anyways, I didn't really get the point at the end of like, I didn't really understand what the point of anything was at the end of it, because do you know the end?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. No, I think I actually did see the end where like there's that very, very grotesque, gruesome like,
yeah, but in the
fire blasting moment, and then he's like, do you want a drink or something? Or
well, like, in real life, that woman, so their characters are fictional, but Margot Robbie's right. character is the real woman who gets murdered by them. Yeah. So like, instead of like murdering her in the Folgers era, and I love the fact that like no one talks about it, but like one of the murder victims was Eris, the Folgers coffee fortune. Like, that's like so LOL to me. Like, if I had to like make up for a script a fake rich person, it would be like Abigail Folger. Yeah. but they all like live. So I don't know what the point is. Like, I don't know why he's saying like, what if they lived? Because like,
oh wait, the Folger girl.
No, was one of the murdered. In real life, but she survived. I wish a Folger girl was in the Manson family for once.
Yeah, I felt it was too long.
Oh, definitely too long. It was boring.
And I don't know what the point of it was. It's like, I think sometimes people think it's interesting to be like, what if we saw it through this lens? And it's like, okay.
But often when people do that, I'm like, wait, but what lens? Like, what are you talking about?
By the way, do you know what? I've been listening to this podcast about stem cells. Do you know about that?
No.
Okay, we'll get into it later. I'm sure I'll guest. We'll bring it up right away.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for our guest. Should we open our ears and eyes?
Let's open our ears and eyes for our incredible guest. We're so excited.
Put your ears and eyes open for Elliot Glazer. Oh.
Oh my god. Looking absolutely stunning.
He looks incredible.
Of course.
Commenting on tie dye from afar.
And to that I say, of course.
Oh my god, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
We're okay.
Yeah. I was stressed for no reason this morning. Like,
oh, no.
I was this kind of stressed where, like, I haven't been reading the last couple of days, and I was like, let me just, like, read this morning, then I'll feel engaged with the world around me somehow, even though, by definition, it's kind of zoning out the world around you. And so I'm, like, in this place where I'm like, let me just finish this chapter by 1:40 when we signed on, and I was like, let me just finish this chapter. But my boyfriend Angelo is doing a drag tomorrow at a show, and so he is deciding what looks he wants to wear. So he doesn't understand how it's like when you get interrupted. Like, I guess he doesn't mind when someone keeps interrupting you, so he doesn't know that it's annoying for others. So I'm like just trying to finish this chapter. He keeps coming and being sorry for interrupting. What about this? Like, do you think it's almost like normcore? And I was like, yeah, I think that's cool. And he's like, but you said you like the other one better that I just came in with. And I'm like, yeah, I said that then, and now I'm saying this now. Like, I don't know. Like,
you're reading.
I'm reading a book, actually.
Right, right.
So
I say this with so much love, but it's like when Angelo, and this is love towards you, towards Angelo, towards Elliot, towards producer Allison, when Angelo does drag, it takes over not only your life, but like the community at large.
Right, right. It's an assault.
Yeah. What are you reading?
Oh, just a stupid little like mystery novel, but I'm really
that sounds really fucking stupid.
No, I know, but it's just like, you know, and it's like, oh, it's like a palate cleanser. And then
of course
I just ordered this book called The Final Girl Support Group, which is so up my alley. It's a bunch of like, it's a novel where a bunch of like real life final girls from like horror, like from like their lives are basically real horror movies, like, you know, Sydney Campbell, or so Sydney Prescott, played by Neve Campbell, or like that person in real life, they all get together and have like almost like a support group for like survivors of like teen serial killings, you know what I mean? Where they were the one. And then they start getting serial killed, like the final girls.
Not again.
So it's kind of an all-star season. It's like we all won our seasons and now we're kind of being picked off one by one. So I can't wait to read it, but I have to get through this one first.
Oh my God, I'm so proud of you for reading.
Thank you.
Elliot, how are you? Where are you? What's going
on? Yeah, I'm sorry I did that in the beginning.
I'm listening. I'm in LA. I'm listening to you.
I could tell.
I am.
I didn't know.
I am. Sure. I'm in LA, yes. I'm doing fine. I'm going back to New York in a couple weeks because my sister gave birth.
Yeah?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah, excited.
She gave birth to Rose, little Rose.
Oh my God.
I love that name.
Are you so excited? So,
I am, yeah. It's the first baby, you know, in the family. Yeah. And it's, she's so, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but like, she is truly gorgeous.
Yeah.
Truly gorgeous. Yeah, like I'm, perfect.
It is so fun when there's a baby. It's just,
I know.
It's just it's so fun.
Of, it's gotta change the focus, I think.
Totally. Having a baby in the mix is kind of like, it's almost this kind of game of like you want it to keep seeing you. So it starts knowing you and liking you. Maybe.
Yeah.
And if you can get it to see you more than maybe others, then it'll be kind of like more like, then this might situation might happen, which is the dream where it's like crying when someone else is holding it. And then like you hold it and it stops.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm afraid of the baby not like knowing me enough. And so I plan on going back to New York. Like, I always would go back enough anyway, like friends and family and shows and stuff. But like now I love, I'm going to go back more and also have more excuses to do less.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
Which is the goal, you know?
Yeah. Wait, what was I going to say? Oh, because you're from Smithtown, right?
Yes, I am from Smithtown.
Which is, unfortunately, which is unfortunately a couple towns over from where I grew up. We're both very unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I'm still sort of obsessed with the like anthropology of Long Island. Like it's never, I can't shake it off because I find it to be, everyone is always like my hometown or whatever. And I'm like, but where I'm from is so fucking weird. It's so weird.
And it's not a hometown. For some reason, nothing on Long Island is a hometown.
Like, that's why.
That's why no one from Long Island can make it to the Final Four in The Bachelor because they have no hometown for The Bachelor to go to.
Well, it's also
Wait, what do you mean? What's so weird about it?
It's kind of like a melting pot like of whiteness, you know, like it's so anti-diverse. It's just layered and bizarre. And like, you know, Matt Rogers will tell you the toxic masculinity is suffocating.
And Matt Rogers will tell you that.
He will tell you that. And like, yeah, it was just as much as there are, you know, some lovely things about it, it can be very traumatizing because I feel like it's such a hyper masculine culture. And that's why above all else, it was like the Trumpiness of it exploded in the last 4 years in a way where my own parents were like, bye. You know, they were like, bye.
Yeah.
My mom wants to be like, so, you know, Mrs. Whatever's, she's a Trumper. A Trumper.
Yeah.
She loves to say Trumper. you know, I had such a Long Island experience once wherein I was probably around 26 and I ended up on Grindr going to meet a man, an older man in a boat yard, which is...
Oh, Jesus.
And I hooked up with this like old closet, not old, probably like I was 25. He was probably like...
You're like, he was 30.
He was probably younger than I am now. No, he was probably like 40. And hooked up in this boatyard, which is so scary to go to at nighttime to a boatyard to meet a stranger. A lot of people wonder why I did that.
Is that near water at all, or is that just
no? It was it's like it's near water, basically.
Okay.
Basically, no. When I say boatyard, I mean it was like kind of a marina.
And
it was the parking lot. It was the parking lot.
Dock vibe.
Yeah,
but when there's Long Beach.
No, it was in Centerport, which is kind of where I.
Okay.
Sure. You know, my biggest fear is swimming under a dock, and then when you pop your head up, it, like, it hits the dock.
Oh, that's not
Anyways, back to the boatyard.
I don't like going in a boatyard because that's more spooky. Like, don't you feel like when docks and nighttime are involved, it's a killer?
Yeah, like rusty items.
I was high on drugs, and I ended up
hooking
up with this guy, and his car, he was hot, and I remember he was telling me at some point, like, how he's like not out and like he's closeted and he like no one knows he's gay, and he was like, yeah, just like it's hard for me because my dad's super masculine, and I was like, okay, well, like my dad doesn't like wear pashminas, you know what I mean,
right?
Like, and yet here I am.
But it is suffocating though.
It is suffocating. That man was suffocated, and wherever he is now, I celebrate any choice.
Well, I think it overpowers everything in that obviously it's more than just masculinity, but it's like the old world mentality is so oppressive that it kind of bleeds into everything, including like, you know, women. I'll never forget like after I came out, not that anybody would like know, it's not like I didn't like do anything differently, but I remember going to a diner with my friends and the waitress being like, by the way, she had her purse and she was like, by the way, it's a fag bag. And I was like, okay. Was that for me?
By the way, for
oh
one
my God.
For one waitress like coming to take your order with, okay, her, with purse. Her purse. It's like,
yeah. Oh can my I God. Please can I please play that role in your biopic?
That is LOL.
A purse like, okay, on a waitress. Like yeah. Oh, damn. What?
There are four very important things that I want to share with you, my children, about Olive and June. And it's this, okay? The Manny system is the answer to salon perfect nails at home. That's number one. Olive and June polish lasts 7+ days and does not chip, no matter how hard you try to chip it. That's two. With the Manny system, each at-home Manny comes out to just $2. That's actually equal to 200 cents, if that's something that's easier to understand. And your fourth thing is that you can use your unique offer code to shop at oliveandjune.com. And that's number four.
And if you have 200 pennies and you're excited, you can solve some of your biggest nail issues. I know my nail issues get in the way of so much. I used to have such a hard time doing my nails myself. I tried and it looked like they were painted by a 5-year-old. What? And salon manis are expensive, but now that I have the Olive and June Manny system, literally, I know I can do a DIY Manny that looks salon perfect and lasts 7+ days. Bonus, everyone always asks what salon I go to. I really have had such a good time doing my Olive and June. Y'all know I do my friend Marla's nails. I do my nails. And the system comes with all the tools you need in one box. It's so easy. It's only 5 steps. And it comes with Poppy, a patented brush handle that makes it so easy to paint with both of my hands. And as my dear friend Pat said, it's so affordable, literally 200 pennies per Manny, aka $2. And I used to spend $35 for one gel Manny. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane and ludicrous and not okay and violent.
But the polish also is amazing. Like everyone says, Catherine, is that gel? I say, no, it's not gel. It's normal. And it doesn't chip. And this never happens with polish. My nails have literally never looked so good. And I did it myself.
The Manny system is the secret behind salon perfect nails at home. All in one. No guessing. No messy nails. And no salon price tag. And so you girls, non-gendered, can get 20% off your first Manny system with our code. And that code, you guessed it, is Seek Treatment.
Your new nail life is here. Get 20% off your first Manny system when you use promo code SEEKTREATMENT at oliveandjune.com.
We're done with expensive bad nannies. This is the new us now.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
When you feel confident, you feel like you can do it all. And mm-hmm. Who says you can't? Whether you're running, biking, doing yoga, swimming, or sitting on your couch, it me, Girlfriend Collective has clothes you feel your best in, no matter what you're doing. I am so obsessed with Girlfriend Collective. Basically, it's sustainable, ethically made activewear for everyone. They make cute and super comfortable bras, leggings, shorts, tanks, tees, swimsuits, and more, like my famous athleisure skirt that I got there that I wear every day. Plus, I love their sizing is inclusive, ranging from extra, extra small to 6XL.
Their best-selling leggings are squat-proof, come with pockets, and have different levels of support, whether you need compression or comfort. And there's nothing better than a functional exercise legging, I find. Something that has a pocket that you can actually do your shit in, but also be comfortable in and have it look good.
Totally. Plus, they use recycled materials to make their clothing, and their shipping is 100% recyclable.
And Girlfriend Collective also has a garment take-back program called Re-Girlfriend. So once you're done loving your pieces, a long time from now, of course, send them back to be upcycled into new girlfriend gear. Join the collective today.
For listeners of our amazing show, Girlfriend Collective is offering first-time customers $25 off purchases of $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/seek treatment.
That's $25 off $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/seek treatment.
Seriously, y'all, I live in my athleisure skirt from Girlfriend Collective. Go to girlfriend.com/seek treatment and be like me.
Wait, so do you identify as being back and forth? LA to New York?
I think I was.
Data straight.
I was more bi a few years ago, but now I identify more as an Angelino.
Yeah.
Angelino.
Do you like it there?
I do. I really do like it, and it feels like it sort of helped establish some boundaries for my Jewish family that are healthy and have only helped us grow even more.
Yeah,
we've grown. I think we've actually gotten closer with me moving farther away, because it establishes more of a, you know, bond, but also like absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Totally. And then when you come, it's like you're actually a guest for once. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. Although it never really, I mean, the boundaries are so invisible that like it never really gets that
formal. Totally. Yeah, 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 totally.
I once had a boyfriend who would we were in New York at the time, and he was from Houston. And I know, yes, you are, that's where you're from. And he, we were taking the train ride back into the city, and he turned to me and was like, you know, the way you interact with your family is really unattractive.
Oh, oh my God.
Unattractive.
Oi.
Like, sorry, sorry my conversation with my mom isn't giving you a boner.
Yeah, like, what? You're not turned on by the fact that, it's not like we're, like, yelling and screaming, but, like, we're loud Jews. I don't know. Like, yeah. You know, we're not wasps, and it's, like, it's unattractive to you because you're from, like, Ice Queens, you know? You're
oh
from
my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
totally.
You're talking to a girl who literally answered a phone call from her dad during this morning's therapy session.
Oh my God.
I was on Zoom. I was like, I'm sorry, my dad's calling. I have to find out if something's wrong. Right. Is everything okay? It's okay. Just saying hi. Okay.
Yeah. I know. Same thing here. I've even, like, my parents, I don't know how long they've been doing this, but both my parents have put rainbow bumper stickers on their cars.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you know, thank you, but also you don't need to do that. And also people think you're gay. Not, you know, they think you guys are gay. And both my parents are like, we don't care. We don't care. We have pride.
Oh my God. That's sweet.
Isn't that cute?
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's so
oh my
cute.
God.
I don't think my parents are there. They're there. I would say, I think in between me and my boyfriend and in our respective family dynamics, I think we're sort of the Ice Queens in that, like, we're much more likely not to talk about something, or like if there's an uncomfortable thing or something, like,
sure,
where he's like, wow, you guys are really, you're gonna not acknowledge that, and I'm like, yeah. And then like his family is very much like, why are we talking about this, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like that when I'm there. I'm like, oh, interesting that you're saying that out loud to, like, I would have not made that choice.
Yeah, we have no, but there's no, I was raised with truly zero boundaries, where like I think I didn't even realize until I was older that it was like unusual that my mom would like walk around with mustache wax on like all the time.
Queen.
And it was like, there's no, it's great, like it's great, it's like super body pause, but like also there's no, I was like, oh, other people don't necessarily do that, you know. It's her thing. Mustache bleach.
Yeah.
How were your parents about sex?
I mean, not like, I don't know. We didn't like talk about it per se, but it was.
Yeah.
It's always like a joke, I guess, which bugs my sister more than me, where she's like, they're not, you know, acknowledging this, whatever, this or that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, well, they're not. I don't know. Like, they're still baby boomers. They're, you know.
Yeah,
it's still awkward. So I don't know. It was never necessarily off limits or anything. It wasn't like acted like it didn't exist, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like necessarily a sex talk house or like nudity house. It was just like, you know, the body is gross and this is what we do house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The body is gross and that's why we do our mustache wax
exactly.
every day.
Exactly.
What was I going to say? Yeah, there's. I feel like there's two kinds of households. Like one in which like, or no, that's not. I mean, anyways, I feel like there's sometimes like. Sex will be acknowledged on television.
Yes.
And you'll have to change the channel, even if it's like we all know it, you know, you'll have to find a reason to change the channel, or it's like you'll all just continue watching it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we didn't change the channel, we just didn't like talk about it.
Yeah, we changed. Yeah. We had to
my mom would always do the thing where she would be like, oh, this is,
yeah,
like, she would act like artistically, she butt was bumping up against it, she's like, oh, this is gratuitous.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
hey, right, you know,
how is this furthering along the story? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Now my dad will be like, Lisa, like, calm down. It's okay. And
that's why neither of our parents liked Titanic.
My mom, our moms really, really have it out for Titanic.
Wow.
It's too sexual.
Wait, oh my God.
My mom didn't let me, I'm positive I've told this story ad nauseum, that my mom didn't let me watch Step by Step when I was like 8, because kind of a famous family show about a family.
I don't remember Step by Step.
It was Suzanne Summers and Alan
Patrick
Beck.
Duffy.
Patrick Duffy. Yeah, Patrick Duffy. You're right. But if you ever correct me again on air, it's going to be a huge problem. And I would just ask that you side chat me. We have the chat in the Zoom, which is so helpful for those situations. Yes, Patrick Duffy, I was so actually attracted to him.
Yeah, he was handsome.
And But there was one episode where Dana, the older sister, was being, she had a, someone had an art project where they had to paint someone naked, and like one, the brother's friend always had a crush on Dana. Anyways, he ended up like painting her naked or something. And that like storyline was in the one episode my mom saw. And she was like, you can't, you're not, like, you're not
well, seeing. Well, I can offer something here. It's on Hulu now. And it just showed up on my, whatever, the landing page or whatever. And I was like, like it's fun to kind of go back and see how things have aged.
Yeah.
When I tell you this, this was in TGIF. It was a family friendly programming block.
Yeah.
These shows were so weirdly hypersexual and step by step. Your mom was not wrong.
Oh, my God. Step
is so hypersexual and they are constantly referring to sex. And I just watched two episodes and one of them was literally all about a gay, one of them was all about a gay panic where like. Oh, Patrick Duffy's son, the boy who I thought was hot at the time, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, yeah. He had like a rat tail or a duck flap thing. And I was like, oh my God. And his whole thing was he was maybe 10, but was like in with the ladies. He was like a ladies' man.
Yeah.
And the Suzanne Summers salon was a part of the house, like was adjacent to the house. And the whole storyline with this kid was that he wanted to become a hairdresser so that he could keep flirting with the ladies. And Patrick Duffy, when he found out, was like truly horrified. And they have this entire, you know, like heart to heart conversation where God. Patrick Duffy is like sort of, you know, on a high wire act trying to encourage the kid's desire to pursue this job. And then when the kid's like, no, I don't want to, when he, you know, lets it out that he doesn't want to cut hair because he wants to cut hair. He wants it because he wants to, like, you know, get pussy or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what he's saying. Patrick Duffy's like so relieved, and it's like,
oh my
and
God.
The show is other even aside from that, the like horniness between him and Suzanne Summers is absolutely disgusting.
For some reason that was Suzanne Summers was kind of that actress where like writers felt the need to be like, we have to like make jokes about her being like hot, you know
constantly,
what I mean?
Constantly. It was
so 90s, but I mean, that's good to hear. I had to turn it off. I had to turn off TGIF after Boy Meets World when Step by Step came on, and then I could turn it back on for Sabrina.
Sabrina was not sexual at all.
And I got so upset with my mom. I always remember like lying alone in my room. My mom came in, she's like, I just don't watch that show, but you can come back down and watch Sabrina.
Wow.
Like, that's like truly a gay panic when you're like, when you're like morose son is like, fine, I'll watch Sabrina. You know what I mean?
Although I do feel like Sabrina would pass the Bechdel test.
Totally. Mm-hmm. It totally would.
Not the other shows, but that one would. That
would be. Wait, when did you come out?
I was 19. So I was a freshman at NYU. Yeah.
Literal perfect age.
And then I came out over literally AIM, little instant message, literally.
Oh, that's convenient. We were done with AIM by the time I came out. So I had to like figure out other kind of mediums.
Other ways.
I guess that probably leads into our question. Elliot,
sure.
Who are you?
Who are you?
And who do you want to be?
Who was I? I was a mess. I am... okay, and who I want to be is like better, I guess. A little better.
I think we can all connect with that.
I want to be challenged.
What was your deal in high school? Like, you were Claws and did you have like
DS? Were you like theater kid or what was your vibe?
I was like a pseudo theater kid who was trying to deflect constantly.
Yeah,
so I was like, but I also play soccer, and my girlfriend was like very pretty, but cool. she was like, why don't we like actually hang out? And I was like, I'm so busy. Like, I'm just, my schedule is packed, you know? So we never actually hung out.
Yeah.
But I was just constantly trying to deflect by being like hammy or goofy while also like truly devastated by anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your age gap with Alana? Were you guys like in high school together?
No, we just missed each other. She's 4 years younger than me. Okay. So I was a senior when she was, I guess, in eighth grade.
Yeah, that's
so by the time she got to high school, classic interval. Yeah,
that's a classic age gap. Why is that a classic age gap of just mess?
So close.
Yeah, 4 years, and she literally got to NYU the year after I graduated. Like the year after I graduated.
Did you stay in New York after you graduated, or were you straight to LA?
No, I was in New York for like a long time. 10 years. Yeah, I only came in 2014 is when I came to LA.
Oh,
started working in LA, but then moved here in 2016.
That's actually really long, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But I made the move in 2016, but like I was just in New York because I think I just thought that like LA was gross because of like other people saying it, or
the old
adage that it's like, I would never, you know? And I'm like, okay. And then I just came and I was like, oh my God, like I like driving. I like air conditioning. Mm-hmm. I like not having to like face the elements constantly on foot.
Yeah. I think that totally. I would really like Los Angeles. It's so funny what makes you, will sometimes make you want to move to Los Angeles. Like I just saw an Instagram picture of a girl who like, I truly don't know, but she was like, you know, this will be a funny sentence, higher up than me in UCB when I was like a student. And so for that reason, she will always be a celebrity to me and like inherently more successful. I have no idea what she's doing today. But she just had a baby and I follow her. She doesn't follow me because I was in 201. She was on her own mate. We have to be honest about that.
That's a huge gap. That's a full just miss. Senior in eighth grade.
And so she posted this picture. She had a baby and it was like, in the nursery, and then it was like out the window, or like the hospital nursery, and you could see out the hospital window is like a sunset over like palm trees in LA. And I was like, I have to have my baby in LA. You know what I mean? Like,
you have to.
I just like made me want to go to LA and got.
Yeah, there's like, and I think it's so interesting here because like you can be a person. You know what I mean? Like you can like have other people around, and like you can have space, and it's, I don't know, it's not that it's that much easier, but there is a little bit of more of a relaxed attitude where you don't feel like you're, I don't know, on fire all the time.
Yeah, totally.
You know, constantly. Totally.
That would be incredible.
I do feel
that sounds like an incredible feature of a town.
It is.
What was I going to say? Wait, and when did you start? So when did you start doing comedy? And did you do it in college at NYU?
No, I was doing. I went to school initially to do opera.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
because you have an incredible voice.
You do have a stunning voice.
Thank you.
Sometimes when you do that haunting renditions, I'll seek it out. You know that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks. I did an opera initially, and then was like, no, I don't want to. I don't like. It's too fancy. You know, it's too fancy. I'm not in this world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I moved into like film and TV, and then basically started interning at Conan, and then SNL, and realized that like men could get paid for this. For this stuff, people, but mostly men. But then I essentially got into comedy in 07, started doing UCB improv stuff.
Oh, no way.
Wow.
Yeah,
so were you like an opera singer in high school?
No, I did like theater and theater and like music or whatever.
Yeah.
And really wanted to just get that opera scholarship, which I did.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't connect with opera because I can't connect with any medium wherein you can't fully know what's going on if you're on your phone while you're there. You have to be able to like be on my phone and still, like, that's why I love Love Island. That's why I struggle with opera.
Sure. It's fine every now. I like going to opera occasionally. That's like interpretive, and by that I mean like I do. I went to one I think a couple years ago where they literally set an opera. I forget which, of course. To like they made it Nintendo themed, like Super Mario World.
Oh, that actually sounds opera. Incredible.
It was incredible, and like Super Mario, and it was like the first 1-1, you know, 1-1 level one, and the whole opera took place like in Mario World. It was incredible.
Oh, that sounds really good.
That sounds amazing, actually.
Yes, it was fun.
Did they sing every single thing, though?
Yeah, they did. They really did.
Yeah.
And I brought I do Big Brother, Big Sister, so my little brother's eight at the time and could only handle like half of it. You know, he was really bored, but I was happy to see half of it, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, I wasn't going to bring him to like a real boring opera because we'd both fall asleep.
Totally.
I would rather see half of almost anything.
I want to go with that kid. I'm going to take that kid. So
he's great. I think he's going to be queer. I have a sense.
Oh my God.
How does it work? Like, how long do you mentor a certain kid?
I've been mentoring him for like 3 years now. And he's 10 now. Or I think he was 7 when I started mentoring. He's 10 now. And I just can tell. I just can tell. But it's not, I don't have to do that much. Like, it's a minimum of, I think, 6 hours a month, which is really not a lot. But I just try to, I mean, I honestly use him as an excuse to do like kid things. No one's going to go to an aquarium with me. No one's going to go to a planetarium with me. Like, he's my ride.
He's getting you into the Mario opera.
It's almost like he's the big brother.
He's the mentor. He's the mentor. I'm the protege.
The student becomes the teacher vibes. That's so great.
I want to do that. How do you do it? You go on BigBrotherBigSister.com.
Yeah, you do a couple interviews, and you know, I think they had a couple of initial matches where it just wasn't like a match for both of us. And then I met him and he was like really sweet and shy and was like needed someone like me to take him out of his shell because I wasn't about to take him on like roller coasters. I don't know why I said roller coasters, but I'm like not wild and I don't take those kind of risks. Yeah. So it felt appropriate.
Oh my God, I want to go on a roller coaster.
No, you don't.
I know we went to.
I genuinely cannot wrap my like the way that like people do drugs. I'm like that's so scary. Yeah. But I also genuinely cannot in my wildest dreams imagine sitting in a thing with a bar and just being thrown full throttle into the air. I'm like, who would, why and who and how and why? I don't.
It's
get
just
it.
So fun. The feeling in your stomach and like.
Oh my God.
Never just... And for one single second, you're free. Yeah.
For one single second, you're free is a good way to put roller coasters.
You're on the precipice of death.
Yeah, that's the whole.
And thank God. Yeah. For what? Yeah.
Oh, God. It's the edge of glorious Lady Gaga.
We got season passes to Six Flags. We got the November before the freaking pandemic.
Oh, so we never got to use
them
again.
Boy, the freaking pandemic. Yeah.
You genuinely like the most intense roller coasters?
I like to really worry that I might die.
Oh,
yeah.
I just literally cannot wrap my head around that or like acid. Like it's all the same to me. It's all the same.
I think in many ways Pat and I are opposites attract, but we really, really stand firm.
Acid doesn't appeal to me. No drug that makes you see things that aren't there is very appealing to me.
Thank you. I mean, I feel the same and no judgment, but I feel
totally.
I just like alcohol.
If I want to see something that isn't there, I would watch a TV show.
My number one girl.
Do you think Jews, Kat, do you think Jews are more inclined to drink or like drugs? And I'm curious where your family stands on that as well, historically.
Historically, it's my mom is the Catholic side, my dad's the Jewish side.
Sure.
And it's her side that like they like to drink and smoke and party.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
But it's my dad who's more open to, like, trying mushrooms. Mm-hmm. But I think they're more uptight. Allison, Allison's my cousin.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh. What do you think, Allison? I feel like our side doesn't really...
Well, they drank, but it was, like, not, like, party drink. It was, like, correct. Before bed drink.
That's kind of how I see it. That feels like the standard. And I'm always sort of a suspect when I meet, like, Jews who are alcoholics or like were, you know, like I guess like a Lush is okay, but when you meet a Jew who's an alcoholic, you're like I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that comes from, but I do feel like Jews do drugs in the sort of fish concert you know, like
my brother's kind of a big stoner.
Exactly. Right.
My brother's like ripping the bong in our backyard.
But then I'm with
my mom and her sisters and I'm like a bottle of wine in. So, you know, we contain multitudes.
As an Irish Catholic person, I've literally never met someone who was an alcoholic. But
yeah, of course, that's your life.
It is so crazy how true, like, you know, in like different recovery settings, like there are so many Irish people and it's like, oh, that's like a weird, like weirdly true stereotype. There's like a lot of Irish people are alcoholic.
Yeah, it's true. It's a true thing.
It's so strange.
How religious were you raised?
Not religious at all.
Yeah, just bar mitzvah.
I had a bar mitzvah, but it was very secular. Like my Hebrew school was literally at Suffolk Community College on the weekends.
So oh my God, that's
it was
where
very. No, yeah, it was just very alt, I guess.
Yeah, that's where I raced. That's where I ran track and field meets.
Oh, nice.
At Suffolk Community, yeah.
Yeah, so depressing.
Are your parents artists as well? How did you guys get into it?
No, I mean, I think they're not artists. Oh, that's not true. My dad is a really great pianist and like jazz musician.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and my mom is just very funny. They're both really funny. Dad's always doing bits, you know.
Yes.
But they just were very encouraging, I think, in a lot of ways, and just let us, you know, play in the sandbox, if you will.
Totally.
There wasn't any like huge type of encouragement, but like every now and then I would want to audition for a movie in the city or like a kid's movie in the city or whatever.
Oh my God, I used to always want that so bad. Did I tell my one fine day story on this podcast?
I don't know. Let's find out together.
I think that actually this girl, or at the very least her friends, do listen to this podcast, but I'll always remember In like fifth grade, a girl in my school got was an extra in the movie One Fine Day.
Yeah.
And she and she was a soccer player in a soccer scene. And,
wow.
And I'll always remember my mom, like hearing my mom on the phone being like, yeah, so she goes in and, you know, she gets $75 and whoever drives gets $75. And it was like the, I remember like it was a windfall, like a life-changing windfall. She was like, $75 a day and the person who drives her.
Like, oh my God.
And I started being so jealous, being like, oh God, like if I could just be an extra, I know I could like, impress them, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Totally.
You know what's really insane is that I was like a very precocious kid who was always networking, like really like a weird little slime ball.
Yeah.
Working at a day camp as a like a counselor or whatever, counselor in training, and I found out that one of the kids, one of the campers, was the grandson of Bernard Telsey.
Who's
like
he's like
the casting director of Broadway.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, oh my God. And I somehow fucking finagled my way into an audition for Rent when I was 14.
No.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it was really, I was terrible because they like let you choose your own song to sing. And I chose K.D. Lang.
Wow. I don't know that.
Constant Craving by K.D. Lang.
I'm really bad at songs.
Yeah. She's like this most iconic lesbian in music, basically. Ever, but it was like not appropriate for a you know pubescent adolescent to be singing a song about cigarette addiction.
Oh my God!
The confidence, the power.
The confidence. Oh, so gross.
What summer camp did you work at?
Stab
in the dark.
I worked at a Harbor Country Day School camp in St. James, but it was all day camps. I went to day camp and I worked at day camp.
Yeah.
I was not a sleepaway boy.
Same. I went to day camps and I worked at a day camp for like 8 years of my life.
Oh, which one?
It's called Camp Alvernia. It's in Centerport.
Oh, no. I don't even know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Centerport, it's actually right by the boatyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And the planetarium.
Yes, in the planetarium. The Vanderbilt Planetarium.
Mm-hmm.
When weather gets warmer, the last thing I personally want to do is to be all sweaty in my kitchen cooking over a flaming hot stove. Okay, no thank you. But also, I don't exactly want to order takeout for every single meal because it doesn't make me feel powerful. So that's why I personally am obsessed with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest delivers delicious harvest bowls, flatbreads, smoothies, and more, all built on organic fruits and vegetables. And they deliver them right to your door. It takes literally minutes to prepare, and I love knowing that the food I'm eating is actually good for me.
And here's what I'll say. Daily Harvest never uses preservatives, added sugar, or artificial anything. My personal favorite is Daily Harvest Scoops, which is their plant-based ice cream. Oh my God, it's the perfect sweet treat. Plus, it's gluten and dairy-free. I'm obsessed with the chocolatey one. It's so yum, 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 yum.
Oh my God, and I love, what is it? The mango and papaya smoothie is so good. I had it for breakfast yesterday. And it was literally incredible.
Literally, have on, Nina. Daily Harvest is all about leaving the earth in a better place than they found it. Not just for us, but for future generations to come. They focus on increasing biodiversity, investing in organic farming practices, reducing food waste, and even prioritizing recyclable and compostable packaging.
Daily Harvest is delicious food all built on whole organic fruits and vegetables that conveniently stays fresh in your freezer. So it's ready when you are. It's really the whole package.
So don't be afraid to stay cool, calm, and collected during the summer heat. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter code SEEKTREATMENT to get up to $40 off your first box.
That's code SEEKTREATMENT for up to $40 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. Dailyharvest.com.
Now, in terms of who you are now, first of all, you're in a relish.
I was.
You were.
No longer.
You're
sing. Yeah. Yeah.
You're
sing. Sing. Totally sing.
Are you looking for
Well, that's not true. I'm seeing somebody, but we're not using labels yet.
Oh, fine. Oh, that's a perfect.
Yeah.
A question we love on our podcast is...
How
many boyfriends have you had, and who are your boyfriends?
I've had maybe like four or five serious-ish.
Okay. That's serious. A lot. Yeah. That's a lot for the podcast. This
on the podcast, three boyfriends is a lot.
Yeah. And they were all... except for one, they all sort of had that like very... goyish, like withholding, sort of a lot of southern charm that then turned into like unidentified trauma, and that backfired. Truly,
famous southern charm to unidentified a trauma pipeline.
It's a real thing. It's like the Southern charm and like the Southern hospitality, but like it's cloaking the ability to like destroy your life in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
I'm really on this kick where I believe if you meet someone and they're so nice, like there are so many demons inside.
Oh my god,
that's
yeah,
really scary to me.
My therapist calls it their shadows.
Oh my god, exactly.
It's their shadow. That's so interesting. Oh, you're okay. Your therapist literally is a poet.
He is.
Oh my god. How long have you been with this therapist?
10 years.
Oh my god.
Seven years,
but they feel like more.
Okay, so that was kind of a big jump.
Yeah, it was a big jump, sorry.
7 years to me is still a lot. I was
on this podcast, 7 years with your therapist is still a lot.
I was with my therapist for 18 months, and to me, I'm like, I don't know if anyone's ever been with a therapist for this long. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, the work we have done together.
Are they in New York or LA?
He's in New York, and he's the only one who I've ever, like, I don't know, he's really good. Like, he really calls me out, you know, as needed. But I definitely found my way through some clunky ones, and especially in high school, like finding a therapist in Long Island was bananas. Like, it's a sewer.
So when did you start going? And you said you struggled with anxiety and depression. Was it like,
oh hell yeah,
did you ask for help, or were your parents like, let's get you some help?
I think it was a matter of both.
I could have used a little help.
Yeah,
well, it wasn't very helpful because the first therapist literally like told my parents I was afraid of sex, which made no sense. God. And that was also in front of me. So
I'm actually diagnosing your son. I'm actually diagnosing your son with being terrified of sex. I'm being terrified of fucking. It's like, cool.
So bad. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then I went to a therapist who was like in not even a strip mall, like truly off Route 347 in Secaucus, this like dump.
Oh my god.
It made no sense, and it was super scary. No. And it was a disaster. It really wasn't until I found a therapist in the city years later who was also gay that it was like, okay, like here's somebody who knows how to do it right.
Yeah. Is he an older guy?
That therapist was an older gay. Yeah. He was great. He was like, I think he called me like a homophobic vigilante or something.
Oh my god.
I forget exactly the term he used, but I was like, okay.
I thought, you know, he called me a homewrecker because I destroyed it. I blew up his fucking life.
Right. Who's scared of fucking now, bitch?
I had like a pure gay that didn't, that was not, I don't think that's ideal to have a pure gay person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think when I had to go back into therapy 7 years ago, when I actually found this therapist who I love, the first guy that I saw sort of, I don't know, by accident, I didn't even like use any online reviews to like look up his record. He suggested I go to something called The Body Electric, which I then looked up, and it's literally like a nudist retreat. It's like a retreat for like older gay men who like massage each other nude, and it's like not sexual, but it's obviously sexual.
I think they would
classify it as sensual. The videos were absolutely petrifying to me, and he was like, he literally said like, you can PayPal me and use my email, which was, I swear to God, it was like laxbro@aol.com.
My God.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm so glad.
To be fair, the body electric is a phrase that I'm really connecting to. I'm like, okay. So, like, yeah. I'm going.
When you said body electric, my brain went conversion therapy with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, it's the opposite. It's literally like them like rubbing gay into you even further.
But when, I'm so glad you said sensual.
Rub the gay in.
I'm so glad you said sensual, because sensual is like such a bullshit word. You know what I mean? It's
so
like
bullshit,
just sexual, but it's like, but the end is
I disagree.
Oh, really? Okay.
my feminine wiles are screaming through the Zoom. I think it could be so sensual. I feel like I'm what more sensual than sexual. I just want to be like touched and like, but enveloped.
Honestly, it's probably like, it's probably to me male versus female. Like, men are disgusting robot animals and are incapable of sensuality, whereas women thrive off of sensuality.
Right.
You need both. Like, sometimes I wish I could just like instantly fuck. Like, I take so much coaxing sometimes. I'm like, I wish I was just, you know, wet and ready.
Yes.
Yeah, greased up.
Wet and ready.
Greased up, girl.
See, I want to be, I just want to be so badly fucked by a masseuse, like, in a massage. But my problem is this, and this is the beautiful kind of, like, catch-22, is I don't want it to be a sex masseuse where I've it's all known going in. I want it to be like a normal masseuse who like doesn't like
can't help themselves.
Can't help themselves, and like neither can I. And like I don't want any. Like I just truly want a sports massage. You know what I mean? Like I, that's like what I want.
Sports massage.
I want us both to go in not wanting to have sex, and then like because of the massage, like we do have sex. Like that's.
I genuinely don't understand how like a masseuse can't, in like especially if it's like a nude massage, like the like. Even if there's no like sexual chemistry or vibes whatsoever, like they're like rubbing your genitals or close to it with like baby oil or whatever they use.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is this not at the very least sensual by definition?
Totally. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's
how every is it not?
There's no such thing as a non-sensual unless it's like truly like a physical therapy situation. But,
right.
But yeah, no, I will once again talk about my massage that I recently got on the podcast. It's just like so crazy because
the new segment called Pat's talking about the massage you had a few weeks ago.
I will never stop thinking about it because it was the hottest experience of my life. But I was like, there's no way people don't get boners during this. But I was like, I can't get a
right.
I obviously can't like, but I'm also for, so first, second, it was new because I got to stretch then massage. And the stretch, it's literally like the famous stretch of like stretching your leg out. But I'm wearing fucking like boxer briefs. It's like the most hot person I could ever imagine, like lying on my wide open legs. And I'm like, okay, like what's the deal? Yeah.
I don't get like, why there's pretend. You can't play pretend.
You can't play pretend. I'm like, do you want this? I almost was like, do you want this?
Oh my God.
Imagine I said, do you want this?
I would die.
Oh God. But then it's like, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that bizarre that it's like that is literally happening and you have to play the mental, you have to have like, you have the mental gymnastics in your head of like, what is this? What are boundaries? Am I supposed to be turned on? Am I not supposed to be turned on? Don't get a boner. Like playing get a boner in your head is a very difficult thing to do.
It's
very challenging.
Getting a massage is the definition of a psychosexual game.
Yeah. Yes, it really is.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I often don't. I find massages, and I mean this in a nourishing, elegant way, to be more medical than sensual. I don't know what I'm detoxing, but I feel like I never get even a little bit drippy or wet.
Good.
And that's my privilege. That's my privilege. I'm not having the boner combo.
I went in wanting a medical experience, and because my hip was hurting, that's why I was going.
Something medical should never become sexual.
I know, but then it's like, but at the same time, it's beautiful when it does.
Did you seek out a male?
I was given the option of male or female, and I did choose a male because of my fantasy.
Of course,
of something medical turning. My beautiful fantasy of something medical turning sexual.
Because of his disease.
Yeah, because of my disease. That's why it's like there's whole categories of gay porn. It's like doctor porn and like.
Mm-hmm. Of course, and why massage. Shouldn't there be?
And why there, shouldn't should there be? It's one of the most healthy things in the world.
I still remember being so genuinely horrified and traumatized by like stumbling on a gay porn video once where it was like doctor patient and he was like inserting a thermometer into a guy's butt and it was like that's not sexy. That's like what you do with babies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's medical.
It's medical.
I put money on the fact that it might have veered sexual.
Right.
But let me ask you this, Elliot, what's your type? What are you into?
Oh God. Well now it's like emotionally mm-hmm. available, truly.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
In touch with oneself. But I'm also very open to all type, you know, pretty much all types. I guess I veer toward a little more like meat on the bone. I like sort of a thicker twink, or you know, a strong slimmer person.
Yeah. Now, if you're gonna write a play, twink. A thicker twink is a great title. A thicker twink.
Yeah. Oh my God. And when that would be such a beautiful moment when like it's kind of the line where the title is said in the play.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Wish I was just a thick or twink.
He said it.
Not a boy nor a man. He's
he said it.
A thicker twink.
Exactly.
Yes.
I like in shape, but also not so lean that you necessarily see like bones and abs. Like I am a friend who loves like basically like biology skeletons or whatever.
Oh my god.
That's what he's into. Like concentration camp extreme.
Oh my
and I'm
god.
Just like that's
god.
Not for me. I
that's
like
not for me
some
either.
Meat. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
wow,
truly
wow.
not for me.
And do you wanna get married and have kids one day?
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't know if you guys don't know LA enough. I'm assuming to know where Sierra Madre is.
I don't know her.
It's just a town east of LA. Like, it's like Pasadena, but a little more affordable, beautiful at the foot of the mountains. Very, you know, it's sort of like a New England lifestyle just east of LA. Fine. And that's where I want to have a husband and babies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Maybe two max, but probably one.
I can't tell how many kids I want to have. Sometimes I think I want to have a lot of kids, but sometimes I'm like literally two. I can't tell.
I can get preg when I want.
I don't
want
to have one.
And not when I don't want. Right, girls?
I can't. Sometimes having two kids, I think, almost is easier than one because like, it's like entertain each other. You know what I mean?
Yes, for sure. Although I think one is very cosmopolitan, you know?
Totally.
I love like the one child who like grew up in Manhattan is my favorite trope.
Totally.
Yes.
You know, totally. They're best friends with their parents. They parent their parents.
Yeah. You want a kid to parent you and your partner.
Exactly.
Yes. One of my closest friends has that connection. I love having dinner with them. It's so fun.
It's the best. I've had Passover with that friend's family, and mm-hmm. it's heaven. It's heaven.
Yeah.
Everyone's an equal. There's no.
Yes.
How did you meet your current?
We met on Scruff, actually.
No way.
Yeah, it was physical first, romantic second.
Wow, I love that.
That's perfect.
Very rare.
I like that order, honestly.
Not a thing I would have admitted before this last breakup broke my brain, but now I feel more vulnerable and open to talk about the truth.
Yeah, people meet on Scruff every second.
Yeah, of course.
Literally blank, no, someone just met on Scruff.
Of course.
I really believe I'm like sex is for me. It's different for everyone, but for me, sex is like the most important thing in a relationship, and then
I think that's
from it
totally. And I think that's sort of something that people are not willing to admit. So congratulations, I think that is very evolved.
Congratulations for being willing.
Sorry, someone's bringing me a gold medal up my stairs. I should go get it.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? How does it like transition like that? I bet many gays want to know how to transition like hookup to.
We just like started like we talked, and it was like we truly began like talking more than even like way more than two might at a hookup situation.
Way more than two might.
This is so fun. Like, let's go outside. Let's go outside.
Oh, wow. Once you're outside with your hookup, I mean, literally anything can happen at that point.
It was wild. And now, it's crazy because, like, we do the smallest things together, and it's like, this is incredible. The world is incredible.
Oh, I like him.
Oh, my God. This is very, this sounds great.
I really like him.
It feels good.
Can I ask you sexually, what do you like to do? Are you TBV? What's going on?
V. I'm V.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, obviously no judgment toward anybody's choices, but I feel like, when you're a human being and especially as a gay guy, like you have the options to like try different things. And
totally.
If it's not your thing, fine. But like, I enjoy V. I like verse. I can do both.
I enjoy V. I love that.
Can I ask you astrologically, are you, what's
Gemini,
your sign?
Gemini.
Oh, wow.
So you're two-faced. You're a two-faced bitch.
I apparently am, but I think I like to think of it as just a duality, not two-faced.
Okay.
Even though I know nothing about astrology.
Neither do I.
We'll edit that in, and we'll make sure Pat says that instead.
I feel,
So you're a duality, so you have duality.
I have duality.
I don't know anything except for certain ones, like Scorpio mean, that's me. Leo loud, that's Catherine. Gemini is twins. Yeah. Gemini is twins, whatever that means. Yeah, those are the only ones I know, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm a Cancer rising, and I have no clue what it means, but I don't feel like a two-faced person. I feel like I just struggle a little bit between dualities, although doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
Isn't that like life?
Literally, but now it's starting to make a little bit more sense just how versed you are. Now that I know you're a Gemini.
I had no idea I would shine a light on the path to verse by asking what your sign was. I'm here doing the research.
Path to verse.
All right.
Yeah.
Everyone has a path to verse.
Shine a light on.
I think I'm more versed than I was probably like a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a thing that might be more of a thing as you get older, because when you're younger, especially now, I think that the like ideas around sexuality, especially like homosexuality for men, I would imagine, are just there. Everyone wants more of a strict approach to the way things are, you know,
yeah.
in the bedroom and whatnot. And I think you know, as you're older, maybe you just get a little bit more open-minded, or who knows, maybe it's the opposite. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I think there's also, like, know. You just, yeah, I think so, too. I think you, like, have a very specific idea of sex and, like, what your role in sex is and, like, what your place in sex is and, like, what...
Well, yeah, and I definitely can say that the younger men that I've been with sort of try... There's an element of, like, acting out porn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, are you having fun or are you just, like, trying to, you know, copy what you've seen? And, like, I guess, for lack of a better term, their lack of sensuality is very apparent.
Yeah.
There we go.
Do you feel like you get a lot of people, like, younger guys trying to, like, really want you to top them?
I guess that
he's
that
batting them away with a stick.
Yeah, right, batting them away.
Kind of an impossible question to answer, but felt the need to ask it.
I guess so. I guess to a certain degree, yes. Like, or smaller men seem like.
Yeah, what is the deal? It's so funny.
I don't know. It's unique. It's unique. It's unique. But there is a very, like, strong, male female.
Recurring trope
and dynamic that I think applies to gay men very instinctively. The idea of, like, the bigger man is the top, the smaller man is the bottom.
Yeah.
And there's no like, you know, division there.
It is interesting though. Like, sometimes I'm watching porn and, like, they'll kind of start with that classic silhouette, that classic
sure.
silhouette, that classic tableau, if you will.
Yes.
And when it turns out, when they flip the script on you, I'm it's so ingrained. I have so much unlearning to do that. I'm actually really thrown, and I usually can't finish the porn.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's emotion. It's too emotional.
There was you saying unlearning reminds me. There was this amazing episode of Love Island I was watching last night, and no spoilers, but this guy, like, says something that offends one of the girls, and his friend is like. He's like, man, you just need to, like, educate. Like, you need to educate. So you don't use that term. You need to educate. And I thought that was, like, you need to educate, man. I was like, yeah. So if you have unlearning to, maybe you need to educate, man.
That's right.
But what I would say is, until I was 28 years old, I was like, I'm a sub slut. I want to be smacked around and pissed on and just degraded. And then in the past 2 years, I'm like, okay, I like being in control sometimes.
Mm, right.
And what I'm saying is, maybe I'm a Gemini. You know, it's hard to say.
Explore your duality.
I'm not afraid to. I might. And Elliot, what's your, like, who do you want to be? What's your dream besides Sierra Nevada?
God. I thought you were literally just going to say Sierra. And I'm like, I would be Sierra.
I would be Sierra.
Yeah. I love her. Her husband is gorgeous.
I want. Oh, really? Absolutely.
Oh my God. Yeah, Russell Wilson. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So is she? Remember how people were like transphobic towards her?
Yeah.
Like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh God. Who do I want to be?
That era. I mean, that, like, 2008 era was
so awful.
Was really difficult.
I think it was like the tail end of, like, mainstream homophobia before it became more dispersed.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Before people started getting creative with it.
Yeah. And to answer your question, I really would honestly, truly, very much love to be, like, a Nancy Meyers protagonist or a Nancy Meyers, like, supporting character, the Frances McDormand, you know, like,
totally.
The quirky one who still, you know, makes the same amount of money as the protagonist, but, like, doesn't need the spotlight as much.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know?
That's incredible.
I like,
you know what, the I watched recently?
Yeah,
was,
the sidekick.
Have you seen Friends with Money?
Yeah, of course. Oh, I love Nicole Holofcener.
It's so.
Is that a movie
so
or a
good.
TV show?
It's a movie, and Frances McDormand is just so amazing.
I love her.
It's
amazing. Yeah,
it's really well done.
Have you seen her other movies?
I love. Is it Walking and Talking?
Yes,
Catherine Keener.
Yes.
Yeah, I love her stuff so much.
It's very, like, SoCal. It's like the version of Southern California where it sort of changed my mind about. How, like, it wasn't just, like, 80s beach. It's like, I guess I was thinking, like, 80s beach blondes in L.A. It's like, okay, Tim Allen. But in real life, like, there's the world in which there are these people in SoCal, like in Nicole Holofcener movies and even on, like, Transparent, where they're, like, full, really realized people with emotions. And they, like, wear clothes that are, like, cover the full body and they have normal cars. And, like, I was like, oh my God, there are emotional lives there. And Nicole Holofcener just gets it.
Yeah.
She gets it.
I'll have to watch. I've never seen
it. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll love it. It's very good. But yeah, the Nancy Meyers protagonist or side character who makes the same amount of money is an amazing answer.
That's fine.
A And you want kids? You want a husband?
Yeah, I want a husband and kids. Again,
do you think you'll stay in LA? Yeah, you're gonna. Wow.
Yeah.
You're gonna stay in Cali forever.
I think so. I mean, I'd love to be rich enough to have a pied-à-terre in New York.
Yeah, of course.
Lovely.
You will be. You will be.
I hope I will be because my family will be there for sure. But I do love LA, and I like having a little bit of a little domestic vibe that I think is hard to afford in New York unless you have an apartment with like stairs, you know.
Yeah.
Do you like to cook?
No, not at all.
Me neither.
I'm not interested.
I love it. Guess what? Dinner party I'm cooking.
Oh my God.
Oh, shit.
I like to nosh. I like to graze. I do like to host a party every now and then. And my favorite thing to do is, have you ever heard of the Miracle Berry?
No. Is it acai? Oh, is it acai?
It's not acai.
Make something sour or whatever?
Yes. It's some sort of extract from a plant that's in a pill form that you take and like 30 minutes to 45 minutes later, it totally throws your taste buds out of whack. And you sample, you know, if you go to the right party, like the one that I hosted, you sample citrus fruits, you sample candies, you sample sweet, sour. I literally, the first time I went to a Miracle Berry party, I chugged balsamic vinegar because it tasted like grape juice. It's insane.
We have to go to one of these parties.
You have to. And you can get the pill on Amazon. It's nothing.
Oh my God.
It's for cancer patients to like make things taste better. But hey, when you have it, you don't have to have cancer to have a Miracle Berry party.
I want to have that.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you have a crush of the week?
I mean, I guess because I mentioned him, I'll just go with Russell Wilson. I mean, he is for no other reason than he's a beautiful man. He's just a beautiful man. Truly.
Yeah.
I love football. I do like football players.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really true.
Thickest twinks of all.
The thickest twinks of all, yeah.
Yeah, football players can be really hot when there's a new gay football. Every three...
I mean, that Carl Nassib came out, and it was like he was in pictures with like Trump people and
that's funny because I tweeted something comparing him coming out with Colton and a lot of people were like, actually he's an incredible person whilst Colton sucks.
Yes.
I was like, okay, I was just saying it's like they look kind of alike and they both came out in this like a similar way,
you know. Yeah, for sure.
But now it's funny because now it's like, okay, anyone like laugh. I'm gonna go back to that tweet and like reply to every tweet and like laughs on you.
Exactly. He was definitely found out to have registered Republican in 2020, so
oh my God.
Yeah, so that's
the hits keep coming.
The hits keep coming
every 18 months though. They're like the first gay NFL player is here. And I'm what about the previous gay NFL player?
Introducing.
So that's cool.
My crush of the week is, and please, God up in heaven above, I beg you, do not message me any specifics about the new season of Love Island because I'm behind if you're listening to this. But my crush of the week is Liberty from season 7. My boyfriend says her ass is long like mine. She is. I always, you know, I want a bubble butt, but it's just not in the cards for me. I have much more of like a kind of, it's like my butt is from like the waist to like my bottom, my leg. So it's just kind of like, so me and Liberty is gorgeous. I love her personality. And I also have to give a shout out to Kaz too, because she also is a star. So those are my crushes.
Oh, my crush this week is Zara, who was from season 2 of Love Island UK, who I messaged and said, I just want to like, cause I know she was getting vitriol when she got out of the house and like slut shamed. And I wanted to say, I just want you to know, I think you did an amazing job in there. And I hope that you are happy. And she responded and was like, "Emma Gold, thank you." And then she responded in a British accent. And then my other crushes of the week are Daniel and Omar, who came on stage at our live show.
Oh my God,
me too. Like, and just gorgeous people. And it sounded like,
oh my God,
do you know
Omar?
Them?
Yeah, I know. My friend Omar was at Yes, Omar.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We went on a couple of dates.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh my God,
so
the plot thickens.
So
the plot thickens. They really, yes.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they're really men about town, it seems.
Yes, and Omar is just like the most self-assured, intelligent, you know, reasonable-minded man whose Instagram is so perfect because he's doesn't pretend to not want to be vindicated, you know, validated for his body, which is a beautiful body.
Yeah.
But he also knows that it's not the perfect, it's not the necessarily the appropriate messaging as a therapist with a lot of gay clients. So he toes the line in a way that I find to be so refreshing.
Oh, that's fun.
Wow, you know? I need to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really fun.
What else? Do you guys feel hot today?
I can't believe, I can't even say, I was surprised how good I look right now.
Yeah.
You look really good. The lighting is excellent.
I'm so not trying way, but I was like.
Yeah.
The lighting was really working for me today. Not this angle, but I'll say like this. What about you guys?
Yeah, I didn't agree with how I looked in the pictures you sent me of us. I didn't agree with that. So that was hard.
Can I say this? I always want to respect, because I know you struggle with that, but it's hard. It's hard because I see you and I'm like, that's my beautiful, handsome, good-looking friend that everyone has a crush on. And it's hard for me to hear you say that about yourself, but at the same time, I understand because I feel that way about myself.
Secondly, I don't feel hot because I did a thing where...
please stop talking about this.
Yeah.
I'll respect that.
This is like an example of how my brain works in terms of engaged in our conversation, so I just mindlessly do other things. Like, I really become vacant inside of my body, even if I'm present in my brain. And so what I've done is I've taken my gum out of my mouth during this episode, and not noticing it, it's a surprise to me to see that I've done it. Squished it onto my desk and rolled it around my desk so that my desk is covered in chewed gum now.
Ooh. That actually makes me feel
And my
so
boyfriend's
gross.
Gonna be really mad at me. Yeah. My boyfriend's gonna be really mad at me because I don't treat my things well.
Yeah, yuck. Oof.
So I don't feel hot because I did that. And I didn't choose to do it. And I would never choose to do it. And I am a victim of this situation.
I turn on hide self-view. So that's how I feel.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. You look great.
You look literally gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, I still turn it on. I don't need to see myself. I don't need to engage with that. You know, I'd rather just... center and focus on others.
Oh my god,
that's
beautiful.
Actually what I need to start doing, because I obviously the whole time I'm like,
yeah, but there's no way. That's the thing. I don't think there's any way you can't do that. Like, there's I don't think anybody could have a picture of them on their Zoom and not look at it, you know.
Of
like
course.
It's not even about vanity. It's just like there's a fascination with the self, and like that's why they, you know, apparently you're not supposed to show babies like themselves in a reflection.
Really?
Apparently.
Someone must have showed us ourselves.
Yeah.
That.
Well,
that's right.
I'm always showing babies themselves because they like it. So I'm always like wanting to be kind of liked by the baby. I'm always like, oh, come here.
Interesting.
Like,
yeah, apparently you're not supposed to do that. I don't know why, but that's what I've read or heard or something.
Oh my God. That is so interesting. Okay. Well, I'm going to stop doing that to babies. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to the babies I've done it to in the past. anyways, are you guys mad at me?
Not even close.
Not mad, no, not at all.
Okay, you're both infuriated.
Are y'all mad at me? And please be honest for this one.
No, I'm not mad. I was getting a little.
I'm not.
I was getting a little uncomfortable when you were talking earlier about the pictures.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Elliot, are you mad?
I'm not mad. I'm okay.
Now you ask us.
Are you guys mad at me?
Absolutely not. I'm so honored you came on.
We could talk for hours. Now that I know about this miracle berry party, if I don't get an invite, I'm going to be feeling a certain way.
Oh, for sure.
I'm obviously Googling everything about it.
You must.
The second I turn it off. And I'm glad that you taught me how to be with babies in terms of like showing them themselves.
There's things I know. Yeah.
There's things you know. We don't have to be honest
about
that.
There's things I know.
Now, yeah. You come in, you go to visit your new niece, and I'm showing her herself, and you're like, get away. You're like, get away. You're ruining her.
Right. You're doing it in an iPad, like a true nightmare, a screen with a mirror.
Oh, my God. Double.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been absolutely honor. It's so much fun.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime.
You're the best. Thank you for doing it. We hope to see you IRL soon.
Okay. Bye. Take care.
Bye.